there's a whole story behind it, but it's just a couple little drops, and it's just think of it as if we were having church this morning in your garage, or yeah, in a mechanic shop. It smells like a tank shop to me. It kind of brings back. Back memories, good memories. Well, amen.
It'd be better next Sunday.
It'd be great next Sunday. It's great now. Just don't breathe too deep.
No smoking here.
No smoking during church today. Those fumes would be dangerous. Those that are listening, nobody's smoking in church anymore. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So I'm going to finish up today the Sunday school series on the timeline of the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to finish it up with the ascension. Now, I've already been looking at, I've already dealt with the resurrection, and we've been looking at those times when our Lord appeared to his disciples. And if you ever wondered where we get the 40 days from, it appears twice in the Bible, but here is probably the most, the best known. But let's begin here with Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, which simply means lover of God. Now, though it might be chasing a rabbit for a minute, some have said there was really a man of Theophilus, but here's the thing, and I wouldn't fight with anybody about that. There might have been a guy named Theophilus. That'd be a wonderful name, he who loves God. But he wasn't writing to just one person. He was writing an account of, well, the major theme of the book of Acts, of course, is the missionary journeys. Paul, most significantly, but not just of Paul, especially at the beginning. And he was writing an account. I tend to believe when he says, O Theophilus, he's talking about you who love God. He could have just said it that way. He could have said, the former treatise have I made to those of you who love God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now he's talking about the Gospel of Luke. Until the day Luke wrote, well, God wrote it, but he used Luke to write it down, the book of Acts. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or after his death, burial, and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So there was a 40-day period. Now, he wasn't seen of them every day of those 40 days. We've looked at several, and the exact number is, I'm going to say it's around 7 or 8 times that he appeared, that we're told. He might have appeared more than that, of course, but that we're told he appeared. And the reason the number isn't exact is some of the different accounts in the different Gospels may be talking about the same event, just different parts of the same event. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So let's look first at these last that we haven't mentioned yet, these last times when he appeared. Now, on a timeline, the first few appearances are pretty clear because it tells us exactly when it was in relation to the resurrection. But several others, for instance, what we know in the road to Emmaus was, but when he appeared to the apostles when they went fishing, the exact timeline when that fell within the 40 days is unclear because God doesn't. It's not unclear because the Bible's unclear. It's unclear because God just does not tell us. God doesn't tell us, then it's not important that we know. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16. We know this very well, but I want to look at it in relation to an appearance of our Lord. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, this is not the time that he showed himself to Doubting Thomas, what we call him Doubting Thomas, to Thomas, because that was inside of a room. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, there is no account of his ascending in Matthew. That doesn't mean, of course, that it's denying it happened. It just doesn't say anything about that in Matthew. What we want to know, though, or what we might wonder, is in Matthew when it says amen, so is this where he ascended? No, it's not, because of where it's taking place. Right. So he ascended from the Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet, same place, which is about, as we'll see, a little over a half of a mile from Jerusalem city limits. Not that they had a city limits sign, but you know what I mean. From the city of Jerusalem. from the wall, or where the wall was. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. So the first part of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians deals with the resurrection of Christ, proving its necessity and its actual having taken place. Now, he proves the resurrection by the fact that it was witnessed that his having ascended, or rather, having resurrected, I'm going to get to the ascension, having resurrected was witnessed. He walked around. He was for 40 days amongst them. Beginning in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Now, that's an occasion that we want to see if we can find in the Scripture, and I believe we can. though it's not quite, though the number of people that saw him is mentioned here and not when it's accounted, the account within the Gospels. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day. Of course, when he wrote this in 1 Corinthians, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, not now.
Above
500, right. So more than 500 people. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. But that was not before the ascension. As he says, one born out of due time. Born again, not born in the flesh. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Because having said that, we kind of want to see if we can find it in the script. Now, look, if you can't find, or I mean in the Gospels, if you can't find it in the Gospels, that didn't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
We know it happened because it says so in 1 Corinthians. But what he was doing there was giving proof that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead and that he was seen alive, walking around, by all of these different brethren. Luke chapter 24, and let's look at verse 49 to the end here. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. This is what is referred to as the Pentecost. And if we have, hopefully we'll have time, we'll look at that. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he... Now this is to Bethany. So this is not the ascension. Again, the ascension took place on the Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet, just outside of Jerusalem. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And you might say, well, there you go, that's the ascension. It is not. When we talk about the ascension, we're talking about the end of that 40-day period, the final time that he was seen in the flesh. I know Paul saw him, but he saw a vision of him. He saw him physically, but not in the same way that the other apostles saw him. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, here's the other interpretation of this. And you say, well, can there be two interpretations? It's not that... There's only one truth. But could this be divided? In other words, could they have been in Bethany and now he's talking about another time? And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Actually, on the Mount Olivet, just a different occasion. Because there is no contradiction in the Bible. When you interpret the Bible, you have to begin there. You have to be, as as one that is born again and understanding, guided by the Spirit of God, that the Word of God is true, there is no contradiction. So if you want to understand it, you have to begin with there's no contradiction. So now, if there's no contradiction, and there's not, what does it mean? Well, either before the 40 days were ended, they saw him. I mean, where was he when he was not with them? He was in heaven. I mean, when he wasn't on earth walking about, I suppose he was, where else would he be but in heaven? Now, did they see him just taken up into heaven, but that's not the final ascension? Or, and I'm good with either one of these, one of the two is true. The only other possibility is they're talking here, and he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Okay, that's an occurrence. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, that kind of sounds to me like it's referring to when he was in Bethany. And I understand, and I don't have a big map here, which might be helpful, I suppose, in this case. But Bethany, let me just put it this way. The Mount of Olives is not in Bethany. It's not, you know, they're two separate places. They're both of them close to Jerusalem. But this isn't like Luke just getting it a little wrong. In fact, Luke, same guy, is the one that God used to write the book of Acts. So, I'm sure he blessed them several times when he was walking around and appearing on earth. I bring this out, you say, well, why even mention this? It gets confusing. Because it's in the Bible. And I want to be honest with what's in the Bible. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, they returned from Mount Olivet to Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem as well. But let's go back and let's read the account now in the book of Acts. Again, penned by the same man. Book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is when they were given the unction, given the power to preach the gospel. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, let's set aside where they were here for just a moment, because this is important. They asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, what he's talking about is the thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennial kingdom. But even if they didn't understand the workings of the millennial kingdom, they knew that he was going to restore a kingdom. He was physically, literally going to reign. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now remember, he's already blown, he blew upon them and they received, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So personally, They have the Holy Ghost in the way that a New Testament Christian has the Holy Ghost. But they were going to get a special unction, special gifts for the purpose of preaching the gospel in this time when there was no completed Word of God. You had to be able to prove that you were really speaking God's Word. You had to be able to say, you had to be able to perform miracles so that people could say, yes, this person is in fact speaking the truth. We don't need that anymore. Now if you want to know if I'm speaking the truth, you just look in the Word of God. That's why in preaching we use so many scriptures. Instead of just, you know, referring to the Bible or referring to scriptures. Because you don't know if I'm telling you the truth unless I read it to you out of the Word of God. And then there's explanation, but it's got to be proven by the Word of God. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, that could very well be a different occasion than what we read in Luke chapter 24. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up and taken up into a cloud, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Now, this is important as well. We'll come to the place in just a minute. But these angels said, why are you just looking up into heaven? Why you got your head up in the sky? Get your eyes down on earth, because you got work to do. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go unto heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So now, you might think, well, that's a day's journey. That was quite no. See, on the Sabbath day, they were only allowed to walk a very short distance. So a Sabbath day's journey is about 2,000 cubits. So that's about 3,000 feet. In miles, it's just over a half mile. I think it's 0.57 miles. So we're talking about a half mile. From where Mount, and if you look on a map anytime, you can see, and that's why, not that I'm big on charts or, you know, all that kind of stuff, because it can get silly, people misuse it. But it would be nice to have a map in a couple of occasions. I would point on a map here where Mount Olivet or the Mount of Olives is, and just a tiny bit here is Jerusalem. If you look at it on a map, they're almost touching. It's only just a half a mile distance. That's all they were allowed to walk. Like I said, just a little over a half mile. Because if you walked, the thinking of the Jews was at that time, if you walked more than a half of a mile or 2,000 cubits, now you're working on the Sabbath. But you could walk a short distance and it was all right. So that's not so much. You won't find that as a commandment in the Old Testament. But that was the Jewish tradition. A Sabbath day's journey was 0.57 miles. So they walked from Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. Now, Mount of Olives and Bethany are not the exact same place. They're not far from each other, but they're not the same place. What we know is when he ascended that final time into heaven and said all this to them, and the angel said, "Why are you looking up into heaven?" Because he's coming back. That's actually far more important than the where. But as Bethany and the Mount of Olives are not the exact same place, I would say to you that Luke chapter 24 is talking about the whole thing is together, and it is talking about a different time when they saw him go up into heaven. Well, he, like I said, when he wasn't on earth, where was he? He was substantial, remember. In a physical, literal, but God is everywhere, and that is true. But he didn't just disappear into nothingness or into, somehow invisibility. Though the Bible doesn't specifically say this, he wasn't in the grave anymore. We know that. When he wasn't on earth, where was he? He had to be physically in heaven.
He didn't take on his glorified body. He still was in his human body that had been raised from the dead.
Right, he appeared to them in a physical human body. So, you know, since I am convinced by the Spirit of God that the Word of God is true, I'm not worried about it a lot, but I do think that we need to be honest about it. Either it's talking about two events there in Luke chapter 24, where he blessed them several times. We know he did. He blessed, Peter and John at the sea there, by the seaside, where they were eating fish. And he asked Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" So, are we talking about a different event? Or... Go ahead, brother. Yeah, he did give them that same promise that they would... that they would go. But he also said that in other cases. He told them to go there.
I'm reading that Bethany was on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. That's pretty close.
It's pretty... Well, I think that people... If you look at it on a map, it's not on the Mount Olives. It's close to it. I don't know. If it's the same event, they probably... So here's the problem. It's on the eastern slope. It's not really on the eastern slope, but it's a little further east. But they wouldn't have gone east. They would have gone... That would have been over a Sabbath day journey. To get to Jerusalem, they would have gone southwest from Mount Olivet. So what's the answer here? The answer is that it's either two events, or since Bethany and Mount Olives are so close to each other, it's possible that they were already on the eastern side of Mount Olives, and I'd have to walk it with a one of those little gauges that tells you exactly how far.
Pedometer.
There you go. But it could very well be that if you went as far as Bethany, maybe that doesn't mean all the way into Bethany. Because it says as far as Bethany. I don't know. It's either two different occasions, or it's speaking of the same man is using, maybe, I don't think it was right on the top of Mount Olivet, so of the Mount of Olives. We don't know exactly where. I think that since the two are so close to each other, it could be the same event. It could also be two separate events. I don't think it makes any difference. It could be in a different account of what took place here. I think more important, because, like I said, Bethany is very close. The Mount of Olives is also very close to Jerusalem. And it doesn't say they went into the city, but as far as. Does that mean they went up in the mountain and went pretty close to Bethany? I don't know.
One Lexicon says a village at the Mount of Olives.
Yeah. I mean, they try to make them the same place mostly because, and I don't want this to go, you know, become too
dangerous.
Yeah, too difficult. They try to make them the same place because those two sound like they're both talking about the ascension. Some will make the argument, well, why would Luke talk about it differently in two different places when it's the same author? I mean, I don't know that it was all that different. If I had a map here, it would be easier to show you what I mean. But Bethany, if you went to Jerusalem, you'd go a little bit northeast to get to Mount Olives, and then a little further, and you'd be in Bethany. Is it the same place? Is it not? I don't know. It might well be.
From looking at the maps, that it is on the eastern slope, actually the down slope, it, the eastern side.
It is
2 miles from Jerusalem.
Right.
2 miles.
See, 2 miles, you said?
Yeah.
See, you can only walk a half of a mile. So, I don't know. They said as far as Bethany. Maybe they just, you know, maybe that's referring to not going into Bethany. It's actually, when they say on the slope, it's like, it's at the bottom of the mountain. So you'd have to go over the mountain from Jerusalem and to go to Bethany. At some point, you do have to say in the scriptures, I don't know. But I know it's true, and I know it doesn't contradict. You know, it's the telling point to me is it was only a Sabbath day journey. That's just over half a mile. That would put it somewhere, probably even on the western slope. If not, it would put it, you know, like I said, I'd have to walk it, but it would put it perhaps just over the mountain on the eastern side. But by most accounts, Bethany would be too far. Again, that doesn't mean they were in Bethany. It might be the same place. There is an explanation, and it is not contradictory. You see, some people say, well, with a mindset like that, you can't. Somebody who's trying to disprove the Word of God might say, with a mindset like that, you can't. I can't disprove anything to you. Right. You could not disprove. And that's true. You could not disprove anything to me in the Word of God, because I don't understand it necessarily. I can't figure it out. I don't know the answer to that question. Does it mean it's not true? I mean, I've only got my brain. We've only got a small brain, about the size of a individual serving pizza. Not even quite that big. And we only use a tiny bit of that. So I don't understand, but I can tell you the Bible was not mistranslated. Because God controlled the translation of the word of His word. that it is not an inaccuracy. I can tell you my opinion on this. My opinion is that they went in the direction of Bethany, but it was within 3,000 feet, 2,000 cubits of Jerusalem, because it was a Sabbath day journey, and maybe that took them over onto the eastern side in the direction of Bethany. So, I know that I belabored that, but I did so because I want to be honest about the Word of God with you. And if I can't explain something to you, I'm going to be honest about that too. I don't know the answer. Maybe we should all go to the, if we went to the very, of where the wall of Jerusalem was, the very northeast corner, and walked 0.57 miles, we could all do that, even if it was uphill. And we could see where we found ourselves, because that's where it took place.
You said speak for yourself.
Hmm?
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I can walk a half mile.
Well, here's the deal. The way I see it, we shouldn't doubt God's word.
Nope.
That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
In Matthew, well, that explains a lot of especially Baptist meetings that we have. There's always going to be somebody that's going to doubt what the church is wanting to do. Look at Matthew. Jesus Christ himself, in chapter 28, you read it. He said they saw him, they worshiped him, and they called him Jesus. Jesus Christ is talking.
Right.
So what else did it say?
But some doubted. That's right. And the thing is, if you can't definitively say from the Bible what the case is, because the Bible just doesn't tell you, the Bible doesn't clarify it, then you can't fight over stuff like that. But that's why people, and you're absolutely right, that's why there's fights and fussing in meetings and amongst churches, because they take things they cannot prove and make a thing out of it. My opinion is this. Who cares about our opinion? That's why I was hesitant to give my opinion, because I want to show you this, because I want to be honest in the Word of God and just tell you this: I don't know. That doesn't mean that it's not true. That doesn't mean I know it's true because it's in the Word of God. It doesn't mean that one fellow's interpret, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
But the point is, it is true, and it can be explained, even if I can't explain it.
Listen,
and we might not know till heaven, and then we won't care.
Listen, we just representatives of Christ. We are ambassadors to Christ. And people, I can understand that. But when they doubt Jesus Christ
himself, right?
What do you think they're going to do to a representative or an ambassador or a spokesman?
Absolutely right. And that's why I'm not suggesting that these scriptures be avoided. It's in the Word of God.
Right.
But simply to say, I don't know. Bethany and Mount Olive are close to each other. Bethany is right up against the, from what you, and I've never been there, but I've seen it on a map. It's right up against Mount Olive, the Mount of Olives. So maybe he was talking about the suburbs. See, but none of it makes sense. It doesn't. We know that it makes sense. What we don't know is exactly how. And if you start, and the problem is, Baptists, and this is another message, and I won't make a message out of it, I'm about done. But Baptists will do something like this. The one will say, well, it was just the suburbs, and say, no, another guy will get all mad about it and say, no, it's got to be the, and it was over here, and those were two different events. No, it was the same event. My opinion. And opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. Probably talking about the same event. Probably. But I like I said, I want to give you, when we don't know, I'll give you the reasonable possibilities. And it wasn't all the way into Bethany, it was towards Bethany. So maybe all it was just over the side of the Mount Olives is not a huge mountain. It's not like, you know, the Rocky Mountains or anything. What was a mountain in Jerusalem was not exactly, you know, what we consider an America mountain. And it's not McKinley or anything. And it was just on over on the other side in that direction. But I can't prove that, and I would not fight about that. But I would fight somebody, not with fists, but I would disagree with them, and I'd argue with them if they said that it was a contradiction. You want to tell me, no, that's two events, as many believe. I'm good with that. Like I said, he had to go somewhere when he wasn't on earth walking around. I'm trying.
It's 2,710 feet tall. That's a hill. That's not a mountain.
To them it's a mountain. But in America, we wouldn't think of it as much of a mountain. And it's also, from what I'm told, having been there, a fairly gentle slope. So you could easily walk over it, but probably wasn't right on the top. I don't know.
One of the other things is that's where Lazarus' tomb was. And Mary and Martha's
right.
home.
So, yeah. And they lived in Bethany.
Right.
So, and the tomb was outside. It was not in Bethany, but it was up the mountain a ways.
You got to remember, Mary and Martha walked to the tomb of Jesus, which was at Jerusalem.
Right.
On the Sabbath.
Right.
Or the day, I know it was.
The day after the Sabbath, but still they walked a very short distance the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week.
They were there at sunup.
So, not far. We're not talking about huge distances. That's why I'm not saying that he got it wrong. I'm not saying that he said it one way and then he said it another way and he was talking about wrong places. I think probably it's on the eastern, just over the top of Mount Olives on the eastern slope, but it is within 0.57 miles of Jerusalem, however that is calculated, whether it be the suburbs, whether it be the wall. I don't think it would be the very center, but at any rate. No, it's not talking about the peak. It could be on the side, right? But it could also be two events, and I wouldn't argue with anybody about that. It doesn't make any difference. It is true, for sure. So, I know I've spent a lot of time on that, but I think it's an important issue. Not that it is an important issue, but it brings up an important issue. The Bible doesn't contradict itself.
Right.
It is true. If you see something like that, you can, you know, it's good to do a little bit of your own investigation. But whether it's two events or whether it's the same event, it happened. That I'm sure of. And the one does not contradict the other. The important thing to remember is he said he'll come back. So the angels rather said he's coming back. And that's the real point of the ascension. When we talk about the ascension, they were looking up in the air and the angels said, what are you looking up in the air for? Didn't he tell you that you're supposed to return to Jerusalem and wait there to be empowered in a special way to preach the gospel? And he's coming back in like manner. So what does that mean? And I'll close with this. In like manner. So he went up into the sky, up into the air, in a cloud. He's coming back the same way. Not when he comes for us in the air. But remember, they were all concerned when they were talking to him there on the slopes of, somewhere on the slopes of Mount Olivet. They were saying, Are you going to restore the kingdom? They were talking about the kingdom of Israel with Jerusalem as its capital. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? He says, not for you to even know when. But I'm going to come back. Then the angel said, why look up there? Like they were looking like they were, okay, when's he coming back? You know? And I think we do that sometimes. We look up in the air, when's he coming back? I know he's coming back. I rejoice that he's coming back. But the point is, we have work to do here on earth. Until we're supposed to be so busy that he finds us doing his business when he returns. All right. And we'll look at that, we'll look at the two different returns of Christ. I shouldn't say it that way. We'll look at the return of Christ to the earth and the return of Christ for us. They're both returns.
Right.
So, you know, but I want to make it very clear. I'm talking about one to the earth and the other for us. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you that your word is true and we can just rely upon that. Where we don't understand it, where there's confusion, we don't have to make things up. We don't have to be like those people that write these explanations of the Bible and try to insert things. We can say we don't know. Try to insert things that are not necessarily true or try to justify. We don't have to justify your word. Your word is true.
Amen.
And we thank you for it. And we can read it and be blessed by it everywhere. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.